Hello and welcome to the Fantasy Sanctuary. As you can see, it is free agency fallout. Tom and I are here to walk you through all the big deals, what it means for your rosters in Dynasty, but also with a redraft best ball lens. Tom, we're going to dive straight into it with the biggest move. There was an awful lot of hype, an awful lot of talk about whether this guy was going to potentially leave Minnesota, potentially stay. If he did leave, where would he go? Of course, I'm talking about Kirk Cousins, landed in Atlanta, that 4-year, $180 million deal. It looks like kind of a 2.5 year, basically a 3-year contract in terms of the guarantees, how it's going to work. Do you think, first of all, this is a good thing, or is this a bad thing for Kirk Cousins in fantasy?
I think this is a good thing. I mean, obviously, when you're leaving behind Justin Jefferson, TJ Hawkinson, Jordan Addison, it's definitely hard not to be a little bit, just wary of what he's going to. But when you look at what he's going to, we're talking about players who can ascend, players who are going to be free of Arthur Smith now. And I just feel like it's not really any worse of a situation for Kirk Cousins. I think the Vikings clearly wanted to try something different. When you look at them as a team, they are the league leader in dead cap hit for this year, but next year they'll be one of the top five teams in sort of total salary cap available to them. They've already got set to have over 135 million. And obviously part of that is going to end up being on Justin Jefferson's extension. But what we've got with Kirk Cousins is everywhere he goes, he tends to be a good, reliable player. Last year he was PFF's quarterback seven. He was a fourth best passer rating, whereas Desmond Ridder was 66th best QB out of 68, 60th better passer rating. Kirk has been the fourth most accurate quarterback over the last 10 years at a 67% completion rate. And that's what the Falcons need right now. They didn't need to take a chance on someone like Justin Fields, because they've got all these players that they need to appraise immediately. We've got Bijan Robinson coming off a season where he didn't get particularly used well. Well, Dalvin Cook had 5 seasons where Kirk Cousins targeted him 49 plus times. We've got Drake London, who, has been victim to some terribly inaccurate passes over his NFL career. And then you've got Kyle Pitts, who the Falcons absolutely have to know whether they can pay him, whether it's worth keeping him around, because, clock's ticking on Pitts. We have seen Cousins absolutely feed the tight end position. You go way back to Washington and look at Jordan Reed. You go back to the Vikings and look at TJ Hawkinson, both tight ends who kind of hit close to 1,000 yards. So I think it was absolutely the right move for the Falcons to bring in a player who gives you the best chance of appraising all those players.
Yeah, I really like the move for the Falcons. I think, they're in a division where the Bucs have basically said we're going to roll it back, but basically get worse because they're letting players go. The Saints are in, their perpetual kick the can down the road and bring everybody back. And the Panthers, I think, are still probably a year away. So this division is there for the taking. I really like, from a dynasty perspective, I think it's a slight downgrade in the short term, just because, yeah, it is a slight downgrade in terms of the weapons surrounding Kirk Cousins. But we're now pretty confident that he's going to be a starter for the next 3 years. There's not a huge amount of quarterbacks that you can say in a super flex league, right, they are a nailed on starter for the next 3 years. We're probably talking about 10, maybe 12 guys. That security, yeah, he's probably not got that, an elite ceiling, but he's a solid, reliable QB2 who's going to give you high-end QB2, low-end QB1 numbers, week in, week out, essentially. So yeah, really, really like it for Kirk Cousins and think he's still a safe, reliable option in Superflex. You mentioned London, Pitts, Bijan. Is there any of those three? And I guess that, we can also mention the Falcons signed Darnell Mooney, 3-year, $39 million deal. Any of those four that you particularly like this move for?
Well, I don't mind taking shots on Darnell Mooney if you're looking at this team for a team you want to stack. I mean, Darnell Mooney has been playing in Bears offenses that just haven't been good over the last few years. And I'm not saying I'm like some big Darnell Mooney hive mind or anything, but nearly 40% of the deep targets that he's had in over the span of his career have been inaccurate. Whereas over that same span, Kirk Cousins has been the number one most accurate deep ball thrower in the league. So there's definitely some rays of hope for Darnell Mooney, and I think he'll be a cheap enough flyer we can take it. I lean towards Drake London. I think I've seen more from Drake London that has me convinced about him in this league than Kyle Pitts. When it comes to Kyle Pitts, there's still just, you know, questions about his blocking, and there's questions about, you know, and yes, we don't want somebody who's an elite blocker because then they end up doing that, but we want somebody who can hold their own to enough that they're not going off the field. And I still worry a bit about Kyle Pitts. I do think he's going to have a better season, but yeah, for me, Drake London, he'll be a very easy click, and I think he's somebody that we'll be looking at in top 24, top 30 in best ball ADP easily.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really enjoying Drake London. He's up to my dynasty wide receiver 10 right now. I think he's, you know, probably not a player you want to go out and buy, because I think the price has certainly gone up over the last few days, but I really like him for dynasty. And looking on the other side of the fence then, obviously Kirk leaving Minnesota. We've seen Justin Jefferson. There's, you know, the talk about the contract. He's yet to sign one. There were some rumors that he might get traded. Jordan Addison had a really impressive breakout year as a rookie with Kirk Cousins under center, but struggled a little bit when they moved on to the other quarterbacks after the Kirk Cousins Achilles injury. And then obviously we've got TJ Hockenson, who has been a stud over the last 2 years, but he had his own injury in terms of that ACL. So is there any of those three guys that you think losing Kirk Cousins and bringing in Sam Darnold or potentially a rookie is going to impact the most?
So I'm completely fine on Justin Jefferson. I mean, I think what we will end up seeing is that he has slipped slightly in ADP. So over the last couple of hours, he's gone from being like wide receiver sort of 1-2 down to wide receiver 4 on underdog. And I wouldn't be surprised if he slips slightly further if Sam Darnold is the starter when we get into the season, depending what they do in the draft. I mean, it all comes back to the draft. If they go and get somebody like JJ McCarthy, then fine. I think Justin Jefferson will be completely fine. We saw down the stretch last year, you know, he exploded when it kind of really mattered most. Jordan Addison, I think he can take that second year leap completely, just be a bit more consistent, and it'll be good for him playing on the field at the same time as Justin Jefferson throughout. TJ Hockenson is just a completely, just a no click for me in best ball drafts this year at the minute. I think until his ADP lands at around 150 or so, it's just too difficult to take a player who coming off a late season ACL injury, who is then going to be, you know, getting to grips with a new quarterback. And I think there's just better options out there. Rich? Is that me? Have I frozen, or is that you?
That's me. I've disappeared. I'm back. I agree with you on TJ Hockenson. I think he's a really difficult player to roster this year. I'm nervous for him in Dynasty. I think a new quarterback and that ACL injury, I think he's probably going to be severely affected this season. I'm nervous for Jordan Addison. I think we've seen poor quarterbacks and rookie quarterbacks can basically sustain one superstar fantasy player. They struggled to sustain two. And I think that, let's be honest, if it's one player that's going to get sustained in Minnesota, it's going to be JJ. So, yeah, I'm nervous for Addison this year. I'm still bullish on him long term. But I'm not concerned at all about Justin Jefferson. I think he's going to get his. It doesn't matter who the quarterback is. Look, if you're in trouble, you know exactly where you're going with the ball, don't you? If you are here, we are closing in on 1,750 subscribers. Help us get even closer. If you're watching live, hit that little subscribe button. We have got so much more content. We are in the middle of our positional previews for the rookies. And of course, just around the corner, best ball season is going to kick off. And you know that Tom's going to have huge amounts of content coming. If you are here, guys, there's a few people jumping in the chat. Feel free to get your questions in. We'll answer them all live as we go. We're here to talk about what you guys want to talk about. But the next big chip to fall was Russell Wilson, 1 year, $1.2 million contract for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I talked up probably a month ago, Tom, as Russell Wilson being a potential cheat code in terms of he's a competent NFL starter for $1.2 million on the vet minimum. he's one of the best free agent signings potentially ever. He has the potential to be. Do you agree, or do you think this is, I think, as you would put it, the Steelers opting out of trying to win championships?
Well, I think both things can be true. Like, at $1.2 million for a starting caliber quarterback, like, that's less, that's what, well, got to be less than what Brock Purdy's earning this season. Like, this has to be the cheapest quality. But the one thing that I keep coming back to is that I'm not completely ruling Kenny Pickett out of the starting job just yet, because the Steelers are such a hard-headed franchise. We saw this year, everybody, it was abundantly clear, not just last season, but the previous season, that Jaylen Warren is the more explosive back. And yet it took ages and ages before the Steelers were really ready to turn over more touches and more touches to Jaylen Warren. And part of that seems to be, well, you know, they sunk draft capital into Najee Harris. Well, they also sunk draft capital into Kenny Pickett in a year when they probably shouldn't have been a first-round quarterback. So now, yes, Russell Wilson is probably a better quarterback than Kenny Pickett, but the Steelers really seem to like Kenny Pickett. Really, they should have tossed him to the curb. They should have been done with him last year at the end of the season and just ready to commit and move on. But then there's also the question for me, is Russell Wilson the right kind of quarterback to thrive in Arthur Smith's scheme? Arthur Smith worked the middle of the field a lot during his time in Atlanta. Russell Wilson targeted the middle of the field at the lowest rate in the league last year at 5%. So there's all these kind of bits where you go, is this really the perfect match? Or was it just one of those kind of, he's cheap? There were several Steelers players who went to bat for him and really wanted him there. And if so, is it going to work? Obviously, the kind of the thing that everybody's been talking about is it's great news for George Pickens. We know that Russell loves a moon ball. Pickens had like 18.1 yards per reception last week. He also had 11 weeks as wide receiver 30 or worse, and a lot of them were a lot worse than that mark. So, like, I'm really hoping that George Pickens can find some consistency now that he's going to be the wide receiver one. But if that's ping-ponging back and forth between Kenny Pickett and Russell Wilson, I'm not quite sure it's going to happen. And there were plenty of weeks where Drake London was bad in Arthur Smith's scheme, so automatically projecting George Pickens just go straight to the moon, I can't quite get there yet.
Yeah, I think I'm different to you in terms of how I'm viewing this. I was a big Kenny Pickett fan coming out just as a prospect. I thought he was competent. I think this is Russell Wilson's job. I don't see any world in which you bring Russell Wilson in and the ego and the entourage that comes with it. I don't think you want that anywhere near your team unless he's starting. So I think he's going to be the nailed on starter. I agree with you. I can't work out what this means for George Pickens. I like George Pickens, the talent. I thought that the one area of the game that he needed to improve on was those in-breaking routes. And we saw that Matt Canada basically never utilised the middle of the field, and George Pickens was strictly restricted to running routes between the numbers and the sideline. I thought bringing Arthur Smith in was fantastic for George Pickens. We're finally going to get to see him become a more rounded X receiver and hopefully bring more to his game. And then we bring in Russell Wilson, who, as you said, doesn't target the middle of the field. So I'm really confused what this offense is going to be. I'm really confused how the marriage between Russell Wilson and Arthur Smith is going to go. I think it's going to be a fantastic run scheme. I think we're going to see lots of play action deep shots, but I don't know what the drop back pass game is going to look like. And that's my real question mark and concern. And I guess we're just going to have to wait to the season to find out an answer, because I don't really know quite what it's going to be. So yeah, I'm probably going to end up about, I guess, around ADP on both Pickens and Wilson. I'm going to want shares. I'm going to want pieces of each, but I don't know if I'm so excited that I'm going to be diving in to the moon, as you mentioned. The other quarterback shoes to drop. So I'm keen, Tom. There was a few moves here, but my question is, are these bridge quarterbacks or are these starting quarterbacks? Obviously, we've got Minshew signed in Las Vegas for 2 years, $25 million. $15 million of that guaranteed. Sam Darnold, 1 year, 10 million. Now, that is a true 10 million. There's 1 million in per game incentives, but he's going to earn about 8 million of that guaranteed. And then Jacoby Brissett lands back in New England on a 1 year, $8 million contract. Are there any of these three that you think we can be targeting as starting quarterbacks for 2024? Or are you nervous that all three could be nothing more than the bridge to a potential rookie?
Well, that Minshew contract stands out straight away. Like, you look at that, 2 years, $25 million. That's reasonable money. And I think what he did last year with the Colts was noteworthy. He wasn't particularly the greatest fantasy asset. You know, he had four top 15 performances all year. But what he did for us in fantasy was pepper Michael Pittman with targets. He had 10.0 per game, the seventh most among wide receivers. So that gives you enough faith that he should know to get the ball to Devontae Adams and Jacoby Myers and maybe even Michael Mayer. So there's enough there that I think he can be competent. I think that he will beat out AOC. I don't think that he really showed enough last year to make me think that this new Raiders management are going to nail the colors to the mast like that on him. There's been plenty of whispers and talk that the Raiders would like to get up higher into the draft, but I'm just not sure they're going to pull the trigger. The Vikings, I mean, Sam Darnold, I just don't get it. This is the Mitch Trubisky rehab plan, isn't it? You go somewhere, sit behind a good quarterback and a good team, and all of a sudden everyone forgets how bad you were. And it's like, oh yeah, bring Sam Darnold in. Sam Darnold's good. There are so many quarterbacks who don't get anywhere near the level of chances that Sam Darnold's getting. And yes, there were glimpses in 2022, but he's never had a season where he's had over 62% completion rate. Over the past three seasons, he ranks 35th in catchable throw rate out of 38 qualifying quarterbacks, 37th out of 38 in turnover-worthy throw rate. So I can't get on board with Sam Darnold as anything more than a bridge quarterback. And Jacoby Brissett, he's just a perfect bridge quarterback, and I think he's fine with that. You know, we've seen even after the Browns, where he did a really good job and played better than Deshaun Watson that year, he was completely happy to go back to being a backup last year.
Yeah, I think for me, I think Minshew's definitely the nailed-on starter for Las Vegas. I'd be shocked if they make any sort of aggressive move in the draft. I think the amount they've paid him, he's going to be the starter. But that being said, I don't necessarily want him in fantasy. I think, you know, he's a guy, yes, he's got some interesting weapons, but he doesn't notoriously push the ball downfield. We see him time and time again have a very low ADOT, and I think he's probably going to end up as a QB3 for fantasy, and it's not a guy that I'm going to be targeting. Darnold and Brissett, I think they're both kind of bridge pluses, perhaps. I think Sam Darnold he's going to be a bridge quarterback if the Vikings can get a quarterback in the draft, and I think that's their preferred model. But obviously, with where they're picking, they're going to have to either hope that somebody falls or they're going to have to trade up. So I think that there's a world where Sam Darnold is a 17-game starter this year. But again, like Minshew, just because he's 17-game starter doesn't necessarily mean that I want to target him in fantasy. And then I think Jacoby Brissett is that veteran stopgap starter. They're probably going to draft somebody, you know, if it is somebody like Drake May or Jaden Daniels that you want to sit for 8-10 games, something like that, you can happily let Jacoby Brissett start, and he'll keep this offense ticking over, and he'll allow them to evaluate the rest of the roster. But I don't think we can expect Jacoby Brissett to be starting a full 17-game season. I think New England are definitely going to be bringing somebody in to there. If you are watching, we've got plenty of guys in the chat. Jump over. You can join as a member, Silver Sensei or Golden Deck Chair, and you will get access to all of my Dynasty content and the rookie guide for as little as £2.99 or $3.99 a month. That rookie guide has over 80 player profiles, film-based, plus all my rankings, plus all my rookie model stuff. It is phenomenal. Tom has done incredible work making it look pretty this year. So hit that join button and you'll get all that fantastic content for a great price. Leaving the quarterbacks behind, Tom, let's get to some sexier positions, some more interesting players at the running back position. I don't know about you, but I was going into free agency and basically expecting a really slow running back market because there were so many options, and it went absolutely bonkers in the space of about 3 hours and every running back signed everywhere.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is like the weakest of victory laps, but it was something which I had mentioned a few weeks back, but I had a feeling that because the draft class isn't full of great top-end talents, that this could end up happening. And there's so many teams that needed running backs that it kind of did. I didn't expect the secondary market, which we'll get on some of these players, the lower tier stuff to explode the same way. But the top end guys weren't too surprising. You know, Saquon Barkley getting a $37 million deal, that feels about right. And I have no questions about Saquon Barkley for this year. You look back at last year, and yes, the Eagles, they're not going to pass to their running backs, but Saquon hasn't been particularly good in the receiving game for a few years now. DeAndre Swift had 39 receptions last year and a career low in yards per reception. So that's clearly going to be something which is a knock-on effect for Saquon Barkley. We're going to see him getting less targets, less, you know, targets downfield when he is used. But where Barkley is absolutely going to win, it's touchdowns. He hasn't had more than 10 touchdowns since his rookie year. His touchdown rate last year was 1.7%, which was the lowest in the top 16 PPR running backs. The average was 4.3%. So playing on a better offense with more scoring opportunities, even if Jalen Hurts is still getting shoved across the goal line, that's fine. But Barkley is absolutely going to get more chances, and I think he's going to set sort of 15 touchdowns going into 2024.
Yeah, I really love this for Barkley. I think he's going from one of the worst offensive lines in the league to one of the best. And yes, they've still got, you know, some pieces to move around and still a question to answer at center. But I think the run blocking is going to be phenomenal. He's going to probably face fewer 7-8-man boxes because I don't know about you, but I can't imagine many teams are going to want to stick 8 in the box when you've got AJ Brown, Devonta Smith, Dallas Goedert. I think he's going to have more open rush lanes. Yes, he's going to be a little bit boom bust because Saquon Barkley and his running style is always going to be a little bit more boom bust. But on the receiving workload, I think that basically the Saquon Barkley that everybody seems to still have in their minds is the Saquon Barkley that played with Eli Manning under center, who targeted him, I can't remember the numbers, but over 100 times, and he was the number one receiving weapon. That Saquon Barkley doesn't exist anymore. I think if we can put him into 4-5 targets a game, that's a really, really pleasing floor for him. And as you said, we're going to hopefully have some touchdown regression improvement. And I think he could be back into that top 5 running back at the position in 2024. So yeah, I'm very excited about Saquon Barkley. I'm fascinated to see where he settles in kind of redraft and best ball, because it could be a player that I'm attacking quite heavily.
So at the minute, he's sitting at pick 17.9 on Underdog, which is pretty similar to where he's been. There's not really been any kind of change. People priced in the fact that his situation was probably going to get better than it did last year. So yeah, I'm completely fine with that at that price.
Yeah, so what's that about running back? What, 6, 7, something like that? Is that?
One, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah.
Yeah. So that, I mean, that feels like a great price to me. So yeah, a player that I'll be attacking heavily at that price. The other big shoe to drop in the running back market: the Green Bay Packers decided to move on from Aaron Jones after he wouldn't take a pay cut, bring in Josh Jacobs. We can see on screen there, 4 years, $48 million. Although when the contract numbers came out, it's basically a one-year deal, a series of one-year deals that it's almost a prove it year each year. Are you excited for this and what this could mean for Josh Jacobs and this entire Packers offense?
Yeah, I mean, it's a real fugazi of a contract. I mean, the Packers typically don't guarantee future years too much, do they? It's quite typical for them to do contracts in a similar way to this. But yeah, I'm excited. I mean, it's hard not to look at 2022 as an outlier for Josh Jacobs. He had 1,653 rushing yards that year, whereas the 2 years either side of it, he combined for 1,677. He's never really had more than 400 receiving yards. He's only had over 50 receptions twice. But it always felt like there was more meat on the bone there, like that the Raiders weren't using him to his best abilities. And he's had some pretty average quarterback play over the last couple of years. So for me, Josh Jacobs is always a player who's going to be quite touchdown reliant, and it kind of mirrors in his fantasy finishes. We see it 2 years where he's finished inside the top 12 have been the years where he's scored over 10 touchdowns, and the years where he's finished outside of that range, he's been in that RB2 range. But now in Green Bay, in a creative offense, and more creative than anything we've seen from the Raiders, I feel like he can definitely kick on and do well with that. And out of most of the running backs, you know, he is one of the younger options. The Raiders, they didn't take his fifth-year option, so they were forced to franchise tag him quite early on, which in turn has led to him hitting the market when he has. And yeah, I don't mind him in Dynasty. If you're in a win-now situation, and in best ball, we absolutely need to see his ADP raise up, because it was lagging way down even outside the running back dead zone. I would expect, really, he should be no later than a third round pick, but I wouldn't have any problem taking him at the back end of round two.
Yeah, I love this move for the Packers. I think he's a really nice complement to that offense. I think he's basically what the Packers wanted in AJ Dillon, but AJ Dillon never turned out to be a competent NFL player, quite frankly. So I think he's going to fit perfectly with the scheme they run. I think he should be a really nice complement that's going to get some solid usage in the receiving game. I think we've seen Jordan Love, you know, have that propensity to check down and use the running back in the running game. I guess for me, Tom, the question is, Josh Jacobs, Saquon Barkley, straight up in best ball this year, where are you going?
I'm going to Saquon Barkley, mainly just because the better offense.
Fair enough.
And that might be up for debate in some circles, but I've got faith the Eagles turn it around.
The other big named running back, I know, Tom, I've kept you 26 minutes into the show to talk about this guy, but Derrick Henry lands in Baltimore, a two-year, $16 million deal. How excited are you right now, Tom?
Yeah, there were so many whispers around the trade deadline that this is what the Ravens were trying to do. And the Titans were okay with it, but then ownership nixed it. And it really was a shame for Derrick Henry, because this is a player who deserved a chance to go and chase a ring. And I think it really could have made a difference for the Ravens. But Gus Edwards kind of took a backward step last year, wasn't as efficient as he normally was, even though he was good in goal-to-go situations. And you look at what Derrick Henry's been over the years. Yes, he's age 30, but he didn't really touch the ball 200 times a season in his first 2 years in the NFL. He was kind of kept in a committee role, and it was kind of only his third season where he really broke out. So I feel like he's got a little more tread left on the tires. Over the last 3 years, he's faced 120 more 8-man boxes than any other running back in the league. Well, Lamar Jackson ranks number one in EPA versus loaded boxes when he's passing the ball. So if you want to load up against Derrick Henry, then Lamar's going to dice you up. And yes, we've seen his yards per game decreased every year for the last four straight years, but he still rushes for over 4.2 yards per carry in every season of his career. And it just feels like the perfect kind of complement for what the Ravens need right now. And the price is right as well. This is a good deal. You know, it's a bit lower than the guys we've already talked about. And there's enough stuff in the contract that if the Ravens need to get out from it a year from now, it'll be very easy to do.
Yeah, I think it's a phenomenal move for Derrick Henry. I think it's a really interesting landing spot. He should face, as you said, the best boxes in terms of light numbers that he's ever had in his career. There is a little question around the offensive line. We've obviously seen the Jets basically pilfer 2/5 of the Ravens offensive line from last year, so it'll be interesting to see how they're going to address that and fill that hole at left guard and right tackle. But look, for Dynasty right now, keep trade cut. I've just had a look at it. They've got him as worth the 206 in the current rookie draft. I mean, if you're a contender and you're looking at one running back, you know, an RB2 to help push you over the top, Derrick Henry for the 206 feels like an absolute smash, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. I really like that. I think, you know, you look at how many touchdowns Gus Edwards had last year, 13 of them. The Ravens do not want to rush Lamar when it gets inside the 5 or the 10. They will use the running back, and Derrick Henry could easily pay off that 206 in just touchdowns alone.
Yeah, no, it feels like it's going to be a smash. The concern is as long as he can stay healthy, which he seems to do a pretty good job so far of his career. The biggest surprise, I think, for me, well, maybe the next guy we talk about was maybe a more of a surprise, but Tony Pollard lands with the Titans. They've got plenty of holes on the roster, questionable offensive line. It felt like running back was not one of the needs with Tajay Spears in post, but they spend 3 years, $24 million. I've yet to see the contract, so I don't know how much of this is kind of 1 year, whether it's a 2 year deal. But I guess we'll start at the top, Tom. Tony Pollard, Tajay Spears, how do you think it's going to break out?
I have no idea on this one. This is the, like, out of all the moves that have gone on, I never would have put this one together. I never would have thought this made the most sense. We're big fans of Tajay Spears in the Sanctuary. I mean, we've talked about him loads, and it definitely dampens that slightly. You look back at last year for Tony Pollard, and maybe it was the broken fibula he was recovering from. Maybe it was a change in running scheme, which didn't favor him as much. But whatever it was clear that him being a bell cow just didn't really work. He's 27 this April. Only 762 rush attempts a date. So, I mean, you look at comparing that to guys like Josh Jacobs, who's younger but has 1,300 attempts, or, you know, Austin Eckler, you know, you're talking way more. So I don't think the age is a concern for me on Pollard, but I just don't think we're ever going to see him truly be unleashed again. I think we're going to get games where he pops off and he's kind of okay, but I'd have real trouble rostering him in any kind of managed format that wasn't best ball.
Yeah, I think, look, the thing we've got to address from the off is he was clearly struggling at the beginning of last year with the injury. I think if you look at, you know, PFF grades on everything, but from week 11 on, he was the number one graded rusher in the NFL last year. And I think that shows that it took a while. He talked about that week 11, week 12 point when he started to feel healthy. And I think it showed in how he played. He didn't have the fantasy season that we all hoped, but he's now going to go into a role where he's not going to have to carry the ball 15 times a game. I think he is going to be in a 55-45 split with Tajay Spears. And hopefully that brings back some of the efficiency, some of the explosiveness. And let's be honest, he's probably going to be priced much more reasonably than a mid to late first round pick that he was last year. So I like Tony Pollard. I just don't know if this offensive line is going to be improved enough for me to warrant paying up for him. In Dynasty, he's in that kind of running back market that I just don't really like, of kind of RB2s that you feel are priced as a sort of a late first. I'd rather go and get, you know, Derrick Henry or Joe Mixon for half the price and get the extra asset on top. So, yeah, don't love it. Absolutely hate it for Tajay Spears, because I was really hopeful that he was going to get to, you know, be the bell cow, but sadly it's not to be.
Yeah, so at the minute on Underdog, you've got Tony Pollard going at pick 78 in ADP, and then the next player off the board is Tajay Spears at pick 80. So it's kind of that real ambiguous running back area where you see league winners come out of this area of the draft quite often, but right now deciding which of them it's going to be is really difficult.
Yeah, and I don't know if this offense and that offensive line is going to be good enough to warrant having a league winner, even if you said Tajay Spears is done for the year. I don't know if I still like Tony Pollard even at that price. Yeah. My biggest shock of the entire free agency period so far, I do not understand what the Bears are doing. Yes, I was a massive Khalil Herbert fan. I thought Roschon Johnson was a really interesting option in that backfield, and then they go and spend an obscene amount of money to bring in DeAndre Swift. Tom, can you explain to me what the Bears are doing?
No, not at all, because this isn't the kind of running back it felt like the Bears needed. I mean, okay, yes, DeAndre Swift had moments where he looked really good last year. He did the second best rushing success rate of his career. But how much of that was the scheme and the offensive line? Like, the amount of times where DeAndre Swift just broke loose and was completely, you know, the running lanes were just absolutely, it was Moses part of the sea. It was so easy for him to get through it. So it was very difficult to decide what was on him or not. And he set career highs in rushing yards per game, attempts per game, also games played. He played 16, which is noteworthy because he has been a bit of an injury-prone player. But I just, yeah, I'm trying to work out what it is the Bears see their running back room looking like in 2024. And is it an idea that, okay, they're going to bring in Caleb Williams and he's going to check down to DeAndre Swift and DeAndre Swift will be able to get out in space easily? I have no idea. And it was very perplexing. At age 25, though, I don't mind taking shots on DeAndre Swift. I don't think he's a player I particularly want to pay up for. But there's at least one dynasty league where I've got DeAndre Swift and I thought there was going to be no sell window for him. And it definitely feels like there's a little more intrigue in him, but probably that's only going to grow if we see Khalil Herbert shipped out of town.
Yeah, I just think there's going to be too many mouths to feed and they're all going to cannibalize each other, quite frankly. I've got DeAndre Swift as my running back 29 in Dynasty. I just don't really want him because I don't know if he's going to get the goal line carries. I do wonder if that's going to go to Roshan or Khalil Herbert. I don't know how much Caleb Williams is going to check down. And if we're talking passing snaps, Roshan Johnson's one of the best pass protecting backs to come out of college in recent years. So are we going to take him off the field and not utilize that fantastic skill set for DeAndre Swift? I don't know. I think he's going to be boom bust. We know he's explosive. He's probably going to have a few long touchdowns and game-winning weeks, but I think he's also going to really hurt you, and maybe he's a guy that is that sort of better in best ball. The other move that the Bears also made, they put in Gerald Everett, paid him, okay, kind of backup tight end money, 2 years, $12 million. Does this, look, I know you're not a Cole Kmet fan, Tom, but does this impact him at all for fantasy?
I think it kind of has to, really. I think one way that you could look at what the Bears have done this week is they've brought in some more experienced players, but you've got a young quarterback coming in, then perhaps that's a good thing. And particularly if they're going to add a rookie wide receiver as well. But Gerald Everett to the Bears was completely another one of those where I was like, that's not a match I would have made. I mean, I really like Gerald Everett. I think I've been waiting for the breakout for quite a while now. And it's, you know, I have to resign myself to the fact it's not going to happen. But yeah, this completely hampers Cole Kmet's ability to do, you know, 4 weeks a season, have good fantasy weeks, then, you know, he'll disappear back into nothingness. So now it's going to be even harder to predict when those good weeks are coming.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got Luke in the chat. Yes, Luke is a Packers fan, saying he's pleased that there's a reason why the Bears stay bad for quite so long. If you want to be like Luke, if you want some questions answered, whether it be Dynasty, Redraft, or you just want our thoughts on anything free agency, get them in the chat below. We will answer 100% of questions that we get live. And if you're not watching live, you can still post those questions and Tom and I will answer, again, 100% of those. The reverse of the Josh Jacobs signing in Green Bay was obviously Aaron Jones got released. Didn't last long on free agency at all. Very quickly moved across in the NFC North to the Minnesota Vikings. It is a one-year, $7 million deal, Tom. Do you think that this could be a really intriguing option for fantasy, or do you think this is going to be another split backfield with Ty Chandler, who showed some stuff last year?
I think Ty Chandler showed some stuff, but I don't think he showed enough that at this point in his career, I had any faith in him being a lead back or even necessarily a 1A. I think this is going to be very clearly an RB1, RB2 backfield. And the biggest problem for Aaron Jones is just going to be staying healthy. You look at what he did last year, and from week 16 onwards, including the wild card divisional playoff games, Jones averaged 18.16 half PPR points. He had like 105 rushing yards per game in each of the five games, had at least 20 rush attempts in each of those games. The Packers knew what they had in him. They knew that they could push him, and he delivered. But if he comes off the field, if he's injured, if he misses games and Ty Chandler does step in and steals a bit more of the work, then are we going to see Aaron Jones go from 16 touches a game down to like 12, and then all of a sudden it becomes a problem? At the minute, I don't think that I have any problem paying for Aaron Jones because he's not going to be the most expensive player. Everyone's very aware of his age. At the moment on Underdog, he's going at pick 65 overall. I don't mind that. I'm sure you can give us dynasty value where you see him going, but I doubt that people are particularly, you know, being aggressive on him.
No, I really like Aaron Jones as a cheap kind of flyer in those win now situations. Like we talked about Derrick Henry, I imagine him to end up in a similar price point. My real concern is what the Vikings are going to do at quarterback, because we talked about at the top, you know, if it is Sam Darnold, he can probably only really sustain one, maybe two fantasy relevant options. A lot of Aaron Jones's success over his career, particularly with Aaron Rodgers, was the receiving work that he was getting. Yes, there's Jordan Addison, there's TJ Hockenson, of course, there's Justin Jefferson. Is Aaron Jones going to be able to get the receiving work to buoy those fantasy numbers and keep him in the kind of fantasy realm where he is? So, yeah, I'm a little bit nervous. I think depending on what happens at quarterback, if they do trade up and draft a guy, maybe I'll be a little bit more excited. But as a kind of flex option, I really like Aaron Jones. But I guess the big question is, you know, we've got all these sons in Minnesota, Hockenson, Addison, Jefferson. Is Aaron Jones really going to fit? Are they going to ship him off because he's got the wrong surname? That's the big question.
That's it. Training camp cut candidate.
Absolutely. If you are here, we've got 380 people watching live right now. How many of you are subscribed? We get almost 90% of people watching our videos are not subscribed. Jump over to YouTube, hit that little subscribe button. Hey, if you're there, hit the little bell and you get notified when we are going live. Go ahead and do that now and help us creep towards that 1,750 number. The next guy, we're going to move on to some smaller deals at the running back position. We've obviously got Gus Edwards signing with the Chargers as that thunderback that we all know Harbaugh loves. 2 years, $6.5 million. Moss lands with Cincinnati, 2 years, $8 million. And then Austin Eckler gets paid decent money to go and compliment Brian Robinson in Washington, 2 years, $11 million. Any of those three that particularly stand out for you?
Not really. I think that, you know, this is definitely a tier down in what we're getting. Eckler, this is going to be a pure committee. It wasn't long ago Matthew Berry was saying that he came away from the combine hearing that the Commanders were enamored with Brian Robinson. Eckler will be the clear pass catcher. I think we know that as a rushing option, he's okay. He can be explosive, but he's never been the most efficient back. He's made up for it with catches and touchdowns. Last year, he only had 6. Previous year, 18, 20 the year before. I think those kind of double-digit round days are fully over. With Austin Eckler now, I think you're looking at a guy who's going to score you maybe 5 to 7 touchdowns and is going to see 3 to 5 targets a game on average. And if Jaden Daniels ended up with the Commanders, I'd be particularly worried. I don't think that, you know, we know enough about dual threats to know that it's very rare that they target running backs at a high rate. Gus Edwards, it was just such an obvious one. Jim Harbaugh, Greg Roman, Gus Edwards. I mean, Gus Edwards played under Greg Roman with Ravens. It just makes all the sense in the world. That's the kind of player they want, who's going to pick up the tough yardage. Had a career-high 13 touchdowns last year, but that was quite an outlier. You know, his next best was 6. And what was really obvious was how much he dropped. He rushed for 4.1 yards per attempt last year. Every other year of his career, he's always been above 5. So it was noteworthy. And even though 4.1 is okay, the Ravens weren't too aggressive in trying to bring him back. Zach Moss. I like Zach Moss. I thought he was fantastic at points last year. But of the games where he had 70% or more snaps for the Colts, he had 3 as a top 10 running back and 3 as RB26 or worse. So he's no surefire thing, really.
Yeah, I really like this move for Zach Moss. I think I've already seen people hyping up Chase Brown. And I think that Zach Moss is going to be the lead in this backfield. I think that he's probably going to be the 55-60% workhorse to Chase Brown's, sprinkled in, yes, electric, yes, explosive, but probably going to see less work. So of these three, I really like Zach Moss as that kind of cheap flyer. you know that I'm not a particularly big fan of Austin Ekeler, and I think this is still going to be Brian Robinson's backfield. We do have a question in the chat, though. Chad's asking, what are we paying for Aaron Jones in Dynasty right now? I would happily pay kind of up to 203, 202 if I'm a contender. I don't know if you need to pay that much right now, but that's probably where I'm going. Do you agree with that, Tom?
Yeah, that sounds about right. I'm sure somebody in our Discord early this week mentioned that they paid the 206 for Aaron Jones and it got accepted straight away. So I think it's worth starting in that kind of mid two range.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, if you want to get those questions answered instantly by myself or Tom, you can join the Discord, check out the Fantasy Sanctuary on Twitter, and there is the link. It is completely free to join, and you get access to myself, Tom, and an incredible community that we are building right there. The other running backs to move, Devin Singletary. Let's start there, Tom. This felt like a lot of money for the Giants to be spending on Singletary. 3 years, $16 million. Do you think that he's going to be the lead back, or are the Giants looking to add anybody else, do you think?
I always kind of look at where these teams are, and the Giants feel kind of on the edge of a teardown. And when teams are on the edge of a teardown, running back doesn't really tend to be where you'd go. Yes, they could add someone in like round three, round four, perhaps in the draft. But I think Devin Singletary is going to have a chance. You know, there's the links to the Bills coaches who are at the Giants now, who were at the Bills when Singletary was there. And Singletary looked pretty good. I think if I'm drafting Devin Singletary, then it's going to be on a team where I'm taking a couple of shots at rookie running backs as well. And not necessarily one who ends up on the same team as Singletary. But we know that the rookie's going to come on as the season goes later on into the year, and he's going to be more, the rookie's going to be more effective then. But I absolutely think Devin Singletary can start the year and do well. I think he can be decent there. In terms of these other running backs, I mean, Joe Mixon traded for a seventh, just lacks explosivity. He kind of got there on receptions, and then. Yeah,
he's exactly what the Texans lacked last year, though, isn't it? You can tell they were desperate to run the ball and keep teams honest, but they had nobody that could get 4 yards a carry consistently. And that's exactly what Joe Mixon is at this point in his career. So I think we're going to see him utilized a lot. I think he's going to be the bell cow. I think he's going to carry the ball. I wouldn't be shocked if they didn't add a maybe late day two, early day three pick for a more explosive back to pair with him. But I think that Joe Mixon's absolutely going to be fantasy relevant this year. It's probably only going to be 1 year because I don't think the Texans are going to extend him. I'm not sure he's going to get paid in free agency. But I think he's going to be that back end RB2 flex play that you don't feel excited about sticking into your lineup, but he's probably going to give you solid production.
I just worry about what he's going to get in the receiving game, because Devin Singletary and Damian Pierce combined for 55 targets last year from CJ Stroud. CJ Stroud pushed the ball downfield, which is why we love him so much for fantasy. You know, he's not a check down artist. So whereas Joe Burrow, while he picks his moments to be really aggressive in that, he is very happy to get through his reads and take the check down more often. So I don't know, maybe CJ Stroud just needed a better pass catching back. And maybe I'm wrong on it, but I don't see Mixon being quite as useful this year.
No, but I think as a, you know, as a back end RB2 flex play, if we're getting 40 targets and I'm throwing numbers out, but 250 carries, I mean, that's what Najee Harris saw last year and he finished as RB22. I think that's easily in Mixon's range of outcomes. And I think that this is going to be a better offense than Pittsburgh was last year. And hopefully he's going to score more touchdowns. So, yeah, I don't get me wrong. I'm not excited about Mixon. I'm not grabbing him in, you know, early rounds. I'm not expecting him to be my RB2. But if he's my flex spot, I'm pretty happy. And then the final option, Antonio Gibson. Do you think this impacts Ramondre Stevenson at all? Do you think Gibson is going to be on the fantasy radar? Or do you think this is purely a backup?
I think it's purely a backup. And the one thing that kind of struck me about this one was it just didn't feel like a Patriots signing. Antonio Gibson doesn't feel like the kind of Patriots player that they bring in. Maybe they see him as a Ty Montgomery type wide receiver running back hybrid. But yeah, I mean, we had that great year from Antonio Gibson. And then ever since, we've not seen anything to kind of suggest that he's particularly relevant. So yeah, wheels up on Ramondre.
Yeah, no, I think this is a great move for Ramondre, because I think the fact they've added somebody means they're probably not going to go out and add anyone with decent capital in the draft. So I think this is really interesting move for Ramondre, and hopefully solidifies himself in that kind of high-end RB2 range. It feels like we've talked about running backs and quarterbacks, but there were some wide receivers that moved. Gabe Davis, 3 years, $39 million. It's almost the identical deal to the Darnell Mooney deal we talked about earlier. Any interest for him in fantasy, or is this more a boost for Christian Kirk, Evan Ingram, and fingers crossed, Calvin Ridley signing back in Jacksonville?
I think you kind of have to view it through the lens that Gabe Davis is probably an upgrade over Zay Jones, who couldn't stay healthy last year. And I know Zay Jones got hot the previous year. But yeah, I don't think this precludes them from bringing back Calvin Ridley. I assume that's going to happen at some point soon. And you know what? Like, I'm not afraid to admit it. I like Gabe Davis. I mean, he gets an absolute run ragged on Twitter. But how many wide receivers available at Gabe Davis's cost can give you four top 12 weekly finishes? He had two last year, that's what he had in 2023, as well as two more inside the top 24 wide receivers. You have five games over 21 points. For what it's worth, those five finishes over 21 points, there were more than AJ Brown, Amari Cooper, Nico Collins, Devontae Adams, Brandon Ayuk, and Stephon Diggs. Yes, he also has those weeks where he has four finishes with like 0 points, along with like another three below five. But in fantasy football, I'm shooting for ceiling. And yes, I think there's, in Dynasty, I heard it recently referred to by Pat Corain as more of a floor game. You're looking for a team which gives you floor at times. But in best ball, Gabe Davis will continue to be one of those guys who we know can give you week winning performances.
Yeah, absolutely. This is the difference between you and me, Tom, where you're playing best ball and you don't have to worry about clicking a lineup. Absolutely, Gabe Davis is relevant. For me, where I'm having to click that little tick button next to his name, I just can't bring myself to do it, because chances are he's going to burn you more times than he's going to hit. So, yeah, I think for you, I get it. For Dynasty, I see this more as a boom for the rest of the roster, because I think he's going to do the dirty work. He's going to go deep. You know, he's probably the best blocker out of this entire receiving core. That includes Evan Ingram. And I think he's going to bring up everybody else in this offense rather than be hugely fantasy relevant. The other move, Tom, look, I'm excited. You know that I've been talking about Bryce Young as being criminally undervalued right now in how people have already cast him off as a bust. You know that I'm a massive Jontae Johnson believer and have called him undervalued for the last 3 years. Look, they get to pair up. Do you think this is potentially a match made in heaven?
Yeah, I do. And, you know, yes, it would have been nice for Deontay Johnson to end up with like Patrick Mahomes, or end up with one of these kind of quarterbacks who's going to throw for 40 touchdowns a year. But what Deontay Johnson does really well is he gets open. And what Bryce Young does really well is anticipate throws. And he just didn't have a player who could really get open last year. Over the first half of the season, when Adam Thielen's legs were still there, Adam Thielen was occasionally getting open and was helpful. But then over the second half of the season, when Adam Thielen really tailed off, it became so much harder for Bryce Young. And the Panthers absolutely have to surround him with players who can just not make everything as hard as sudden possible for him at every aspect of the game. So, yeah, I mean, hey, I had to wait 26 minutes to talk about Derrick Henry, but you've had to wait 53 minutes. So I'm sure you've got plenty of thoughts on it.
Yeah, I think this is a perfect move for both Deontay Johnson and Bryce Young. Look, you said it perfectly. Deontay Johnson gets open for fun. I think Bryce Young is going to be able to pep him with targets. Deontay Johnson is probably going to see 130, 140 targets this year. Like what Adam Thielen did to start the year, Deontay Johnson's 10 times better the player Adam Thielen is at this point in his career. So I'm very excited about the volume Deontay Johnson's going to see. Yes, it's probably not going to be particularly appealing. Yes, he probably won't score a huge amount of touchdowns, but in PPR leagues, he's going to be an absolute PPR scam. And I think, look, I've said it all off season. Bryce Young, the talent is still there. They're addressing the issues. You know, they've built up this, thrown an obscene amount of money at two guards. They're building the interior. Hopefully Morton can continue to grow at right tackle. Hopefully Iggy Okwuanu can bounce back. And this offensive line can give Bryce Rung enough time to distribute the ball. Hopefully as well, the Panthers aren't done at the wide receiver position. I think you've brought in Deontay Johnson. Great. You've got some, we'll call them interesting options in Jonathan Mingo and the likes. Hopefully they're going to spend, you know, at least one of those day two picks on another wide receiver to keep building around Bryce Young. And hopefully we can see this offense start to function and start to look like what we hoped it would be last year with Bryce Young coming out. So yeah, I'm very excited about what this move means for Deontay and Bryce Young. And then that pretty much covers everything, Tom. The one player that he got released about an hour before we came live, and we've not had a chance to add a slide, of course, Mike Williams. It felt like it was the thing that was always happening. It was just they hadn't officially filed the paperwork, but he's been released by the Chargers. Any landing spots that you're particularly interested in, or any players that you think he could be a fit playing alongside?
Not particularly. I think it's kind of noteworthy that his former wide receiver coach from the Chargers is now with the Bears. So there's that kind of link that feels quite natural. Otherwise, I mean, every wide receiver has to be linked with the Chiefs, but do we ever actually see it? So I don't know. There wasn't anywhere that really stood out, I think, for a soon to be 30-year-old wide receiver coming off an ACL injury. Perhaps the market isn't going to be quite as excited, and this feels like one where Mike Williams might actually sit on the open market for a little while until at least after the draft.
Yeah, absolutely. I do wonder if he's gonna, you know, take the visits and do the proper free agency circuit rather than sign anywhere immediately like Aaron Jones did. Couple of, I guess, breaking news bits. Michael Thomas has now been officially released by the Saints. Any interest in him this year?
No, he was connected with the Ravens a couple of weeks back by somebody, I can't remember who, but that's absolutely not the type of wide receiver the Ravens need right now.
And then we've talked about Calvin Ridley being between going back to Jacksonville or potentially New England. Some recent rumours just started circulating that he could be going to the Titans. So any interest in that one?
I like that. That's the kind of player that the Titans need to be bringing in. I mean, yeah, if they're going to bring this kind of Bengals-type offense to the Titans, then that could be a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that would be an incredible fit. You've got DeAndre Hopkins as your traditional X. You've got Calvin Ridley can play that Z that he feels more natural playing. And then hopefully Treylon Burks can be the movable piece on offense. So yeah, that would be fascinating. I still think he's going back to Jacksonville. I'd be shocked if he ended up anywhere else, but it will be interesting to see at least. Well, that concludes it for the show. If you've got any, you know, questions, do get them in the comments below. As I said, Tom and I will answer 100% of the questions we get, even if you're not watching live. Stick around. Make sure you've hit that subscribe button. We will have the positional previews. We'll continue to roll on. We've got wide receivers coming next. And then, of course, we'll move on to running backs, tight ends, and a very important sleeper show. And then best ball season is just around the corner. And we know that Tommy's getting very hyped for all of the drafts that he's going to be doing live with some phenomenal guests. So hit the subscribe button, make sure you don't miss all of that, and we'll see you very soon.